The Conference Committee for House File 92 will come to order. Thanks for joining us back here again after a couple of weeks' break. Unless members have any preliminaries that they'd like to get out of the way, I think we'll just start by sharing an offer that the House is bringing this afternoon for the Senate. I did share it with Senator Eaton before the hearing, so she's had a chance to look at it. I don't know if she's shared it with other senators. And do we have copies for the public? Paul has copies down here. And we have some additional ones if we need them. But here, the House offer also contains amendment language, if that would be in order today, and consists of basically 7 points that I'll mention. Number one, the state will define small business to be a business of $500,000 in gross sales, which is consistent with federal law. We go to a $9.50 minimum wage by August 1st, 2016 for large employers. Starting in 2017, the wage would be tied to the implicit price deflator with a cap of 3%. Small business minimum wage would go to $7.75 by 2016, and thereafter be indexed to inflation using the implicit price deflator capped at 3%. A training wage, which is would have the same definition as it currently does in state law, which is the first 90 days of employment, and for those under the age of 20, would go to $7.75 by 2016, which is the same amount as the small business. That also would be tied to inflation thereafter using the same definition. Point number five, MMB should report annually beginning in 2017, comparing the minimum wage indexed by the implicit price deflator and capped at 3% compared to what the minimum wage would be if it was just tied to the CPI inflation rate. Number six, we would establish a 40-hour work week in Minnesota for all workers except agriculture employees, and the Department of Labor and Industry would be required to conduct a study of the impact of going to a 40-hour work week for agriculture employees, and that study would be due September 1st, 2014. And point number seven is to delete all the other provisions of the House bill. So points one through six would be the totality of the bill if it were adopted today. I guess the points I would make, I know there was a question about what the House is willing to move on. First of all, I would start at the beginning, which is the Senate proposal of going to 950 by 2016 has the effect of reducing the 950 because the one-year delay reduces the inflated amount of that wage, so it actually is less than 950 in the same dollars. Number two, the cap on the implicit price deflator is at 3%, and the implicit price deflator itself is a lower measure of inflation than the CPI. Another point is that the comparison between the implicit price deflator and CPI is something that Senator Eaton and I have talked about as being a useful point, so it's something that I incorporated. Removing the 40-hour work week for agriculture employees is a very significant change that the House is making from its bill, one that is difficult for me to justify, frankly, but something that I understand is of great concern to a number of members and a number of senators. And the final point is that we reduce significantly the minimum wage final rate for small employers and for the training wage, going down to $7.75. So from our point of view, this is a pretty significant move away from the original House bill in total, and we're hoping that the Senate can review this favorably. We can move on it if the Senate's ready to act. I suspect that may not quite be true, but I thought at least we could start a constructive discussion.
Thank you.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the offer. It looks like it's very comprehensive and includes a lot of the issues that we discussed. I will need to take it back to my caucus and go through it with the conference committee and get back to you. I really haven't had enough time to study it. I've been doing bills in committee.
Understood. Senator Eaton, do you have a sense of when your caucus would have a chance to discuss it or your conferees and when we might hear something back?
Yeah, we're having a Senate caucus on Wednesday evening, so I would probably be able to get back to you after that.
Okay.
I would think that we'd know where we're at by then anyway.
Okay. Anything further from senators, House members? There was one person who requested an opportunity to testify, Naomi Williams, and I know that we're done with the public testimony phase, but she made a point that a number of the folks she wanted to talk for were not able to make it previously, so I did say that we would offer about 3 minutes or so to take that testimony, even though we had concluded it previously. And Ms. Williams, I wonder if you could maybe just take the microphone on the far end of this side of the table.
Yeah,
please just identify yourself for the tape and proceed with your testimony.
I'm Naomi Williamson, owner of Sanctuary Restaurant, 903 Washington Avenue South in downtown Minneapolis. And I'm here to talk about, I'm representing not the Minnesota Restaurant Association, but the AM 950 advertisers, who are a group of small restaurants that are all in Minnesota independent restaurants. They're all left-leaning, they're all concerned deeply about the fact that, as it's on the table in from both houses, neither of the bills reflects any kind of recognition of tip income toward minimum wage. And what I wanted to make sure I got in here with was to talk about the unintended consequences. I have a piece of paper that has quotes from all of the restaurants. And a lot of the information that's gone back and forth has sort of said, well, restaurants like Sanctuary are relatively expensive restaurants that are fine dining, and small restaurants aren't facing the same issues as the fine dining restaurants in terms of tipped workers who are making well over minimum wage per hour. And it's my assertion and our assertion that all of our restaurants, which includes Milda's Cafe, which is just a breakfast and lunch place, includes Amore Coffee, which is just it's a barista place. These tipped workers are making making the most of anybody per hour in the business, including all of the back of house and the owners. And it's really hard for small business in Minnesota, and especially independent business that's not a part of a larger support chain, to be in business and stay healthy for all of the members, from the owners to the back of the house to the front of house. The shift up from where we are today to $9.50 an hour is what we consider the tipping point of going over the top, of creating a disparity in income and wages from working in that restaurant, from back of house, front of house, and the owners. And so I have a list of the quotes from the restaurants that I'm talking about. If I could, I only brought 7 copies, but I'll pass them around. And there's the AM 950 advertisers and a few other small independents like Brenda from Spoon River and some others. So I'm really asking both of you, to both sides of the house, to relook at how hard it is in Minnesota for small businesses, small independent restaurants, where our tipped workers are in fact making more than anybody else, including owners and general managers and chefs in the restaurant. And that's including restaurants that are not fine dining like mine. We support the raise of minimum wage. The restaurants I'm talking about are Milda's Cafe, Hazel's Northeast, Ginger Hop, Nightingale, Rainbow Chinese, Amore Coffee, Spoon River, Barley John's Brew Pub. We've gotten through a heck of a time. I opened 7 years ago, the bridge fell down, the economy fell down. And, okay, you can say I'm bad luck or I'm stupid, I don't deserve to have, you know, a chance to invest my $400,000 in a new business in Minnesota. But when I look at what, we were finally to the point, Great Waters Brewing said, you know, we made it through this tough time and now we're going to get hit with this. We're going to have to restructure. The bottom line is every one of the comments, they're on the sheet of paper that I just passed out, says we're going to have to cut back servers hours. So what's happening is that exactly the opposite of what the unions want and what you want is that people's jobs are going to be cut back, and those are going to be serving jobs, because the serving jobs are the ones that can be taken out by automation, by counter service, by food trucks. So there is a lot to look at here, and it's complicated, and a lot of people don't understand it. My husband went to the Democratic caucus, and he's trying to explain how this works, that a server is making $31 an hour in our restaurant, and our cook, our chef, is making $17 an hour or $22 an hour. And these disparities in income front to back are going to be exacerbated by this $9.50 to a point of really damaging the people you're trying to help, small businesses, servers, and even union membership. And if the unions want to get members, there's going to be fewer servers to join unions when this is over.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Any question from the committee? Okay, seeing none, thank you. And I suppose should acknowledge it is Ask Me Day on the Hill, and the room is fuller than it typically would be, even for a conference committee that's relatively high profile. So I just want to say thank you all for your respectful behavior in the conference committee and for showing up as citizens to advocate for the things that you believe in. And if there's nothing further, we will reconvene, I hope, later this week and have discussions offline, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, and the committee is adjourned.